Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We are rocking and rolling, rolling and rocking. This is how we do it here on the West Coast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. On the West Coast, we have a hot show tonight. We're going to let the community know about the protest that we did at the Buchanan High School in Clovis, California last Friday night. The African-American mothers came together. They organized very well to protest the black face that was did by a white cheerleader here in Fresno. We have some live footage here that we're going to play this evening for you so that all of you can get an opportunity to listen to the press conference and call in and tell us what you think. We'll be having some folks calling in. We're starting a little bit late, about 10 minutes late. We're at a meeting and we all had to jam out. But we just wanted, it was a holiday on Monday, so I just want to give everybody a day off. But we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. And man, it was a powerful time we had Friday. And so I'm just going to go ahead and wait for the callers to call in. And we're going to go ahead and play the press conference here that we did at the Buchanan High School. But tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Bullard racism versus Buchanan racism in the Clovis Unified School District. Very, very interesting topic tonight. And so we're just going to go right in here to the press conference here that we did Friday night. Here we go.
D-H-A-R-R-I-S-G-R.
Perfect. Talk to us about why you guys came out here today.
Well, evidently, we should be here having an enjoyable evening watching a football game, but instead, we're here dealing with a situation with President Unified, who has left a young lady on the cheer team who has painted her face black using the word nigger not once, not twice, but multiple times in videos. Feel it's important to have a zero tolerance when it comes to dealing with racism. It's not good enough to tell us here in Fresno that you're going to have her write an essay. It's not good enough here in Fresno to tell us that her parents can write a two-page apology letter. What we want her is off the team. It's not fair for the other cheerleaders to have to sit here and cheerlead next to someone who has demonstrated themselves in a horrific way here, demonizing black people. This is a disgrace to the black community here in Fresno. It's a disgrace to our ancestors that was here, brought into slavery for 400 years. We understand where the word nigger came from. It came from the white man. He created the word. And now here we are in 2019, and now we have a school institution who has allowed and not setting an example. We need to make an example out of this young lady to set a precedence that anybody use that word in the context that she used it in to demonize our people should be removed from a team and let the other cheerleaders cheer freely here in Fresno.
So for you, the frustration is not so much the disciplinary action that was taken, it was just the lack of her being removed from the team altogether.
Oh, there's a lot of issues here because the team voted her off. You have a handbook. You go by the handbook. Things are governed by policies and procedures. She was voted off the team. Why was she reinstated? That's the question that needs to be asked. Why was she reinstated when the handbook and the cheerleading coach and the cheerleaders voted her off? So you're not going to come in and violate the policy that's in place in black and white. So therefore, we're pushing for zero tolerance of racism here in this community. And now the conversation I'm having with my community is that we're going to boycott. We're going to tell every black kid here in Fresno, California, do not attend Bullard High School until this school administration, from the superintendent to the board members, understand that you're not going to insult black people anymore in this city, not long as we are here and think it's business as usual, and we're going to come out here and have fun and have popcorn and have soda while we're sitting up here being insulted. It's not going to be put up with. So we're telling all of our black athletes right now, trust me when I say this, do not attend Bullard High. I don't believe Bullard High School can win a football game without black students. But you're not going to sit up here and insult this community, insult our ancestors, and insult the world. It's not going to be put up with. And so we're here today. You see, we all dressed in black in solidarity. There has been threats to students. There has been threats to parents. Parents have pulled their children out of this school. We're taxpayers. We don't send our children to school to be abused. We send our children to school to learn. To learn. And that's not happening now. It's not happening now. And so, we're not just protesting today, but we're going to start a boycott out of this Bullard High School.
Anything I didn't ask you like that?
No, we're fine. We're fine. Just watch. Just watch.
We're going to go ahead and stop the show there. I'd like to welcome everyone to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. We are here going live, live streaming the press conference that was there last Friday night at Buchanan High School. We have received a lot of, how can I say that? We have received a lot of pushback from individuals from the Buchanan community or high school, rather, or Clovis, by individual by the name of, I think his name is Chris Milton. He say he's the go-to person that the district call on when there are racial issues in the school district. And so we're gonna talk about him a little bit later, but right now I want to open up the lines right now. But before I go, I just want to thank Mary for tuning in tonight to our show. Thank you for tuning in. Please share the show with other folks. Who is this? Everything. Thank you for tuning in. And to net look like, thank you for tuning in too. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up the line here. I believe 5172 is someone who was at the protest. Let's see, who is this 5172? Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show.
Hey, Rev. This is Aline Reed. I was one of the protesters out in front of the stadium. And then inside, went inside after the varsity game started. I was one of the 20-something people that was out in front of the stadium, and I thought it was a very successful, well-organized, peaceful protest.
So, you know, I guess Maria be calling in pretty soon, hopefully. We all just left a meeting. But you know, there are some things said in regards to the planning of the protests, that the planning was unorganized, it wasn't well thought through by this individual named Chris Milton, I believe is his name. I believe he's the African-American brother who son, I guess, is being highly recruited to some big name high school, Georgia or something. And so he was one of the ones who called me to call the press conference off. But I told him, I said, you know, the mothers have that power. I don't. But I just want to play a clip here of this young lady here real quick.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, this is from my reports. This is the cheerleader who said the N-word multiple times. I've seen this young lady on different videos saying that word.
Similar behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Reverend Harris, I don't understand. I do understand that Mr. Chris Milton had a issue about wanting his son to be seen in the best light and recruitment and all of that. What I don't think he understood was that those of us who were protesting had held multiple meetings which he could have attended. And I didn't see him at any of the planning meetings. He could have come to those. And what I don't understand, too, is it seems selfish to me that he is only thinking about his son and his son's football recruitment, which I hope it's successful for them. Obviously, I hope that. But what about the greater community and the other children who are attending Buller, who are having to face these aggressions every day from a racist, hostile environment? He seems to have blocked all that out, and I don't understand that. But
well,
that's just
Chris,
me.
Chris Milton, when he called me, and I've never in my life heard someone tell me this before, that he's a privileged black man. I asked him to call into the show tonight, and I hope he calls into the show, because you know I don't censor anybody. You know, all I ask is to be respectful. I know we get passionate and different things like that. But let me go ahead and play this here real quick. I just want to play this video. This is the cheerleader at Bullard. This is on YouTube, so this is not something that I'm making up. This is on YouTube.
She wants to
say it. Say it, nigga.
What, nigga?
Say it.
Who said I can't say nigga?
Mm.
Say it. She wants to say it.
Say it, nigga.
What, nigga? Who said I can't say nigga?
Mm.
So,
wow, it just kind of rolls off her tongue.
What are your thoughts about that, Aline? I mean, you're someone well respected in the community. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, Reverend Harris, let me just say this. I know that there are some people, black and white, who might want to chalk this incident up as a high school teenage prank. However, when you have a young lady who is purposefully saying a word that she knows is offensive, that she is being challenged to say and repeat, and she's doing it because she knows that she shouldn't, I think that is a problem. When you take a word that historically has been used to demean people, and use it in the way and context in which she used it with blackface and then as sort of a challenge, this reeks of cultural insensitivity, Reverend Harris, and this is something that has to be addressed and not tolerated. This is not a high school prank. This is a culture that is at this high school, at Bullard High School, Fresno Unified, that she thinks that it is okay for her to do this with no consequences. Now, obvious to me, as an African American woman, I'm listening to this thinking, the punishment that this child got, her consequence, writing a letter, her parents wrote a letter that sounded like it came from an attorney, okay, 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 that is not okay. This girl was voted off her cheer team. The wishes of the cheer team and the cheer coach should have been upheld, and they were not. And I have a huge problem with that as a community member, as a taxpayer, and as somebody who is the current chair of Fresno Freedom School. I have a huge problem with this. What other aggressions are black children having to go through a bullet that we don't know anything about, Reverend Harris? And not just bullet now. This kind of racism is probably spread throughout Fresno Unified, and our children are having to go into the lion's den every day. So my response is that Fresno Unified needs to take swift action. If they don't want people to continue to talk about this incident, then they need to fix it. They need to fix it. So that's how I feel about it. There, you know, the cultural sensitivity, there's no intersectionality going on here. So
but in defense of the school district said that they follow state ed code. That's what they said. They said they follow state ed code. But what's contradicting here is that the cheerleaders have a handbook, and and it was said in a meeting with one of the African-American mothers that the children, that the district was going to allow the children to make the decision. They made the decision, and then somehow another downtown got involved, and they reinstated the young lady.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So that's
yes.
where the contradictory come in at with this piece, right? And now, is it because she white? She right? Is it because her her mother, her mom and pop have money? See, so what people don't understand is that we have to have a zero tolerance.
A zero tolerance.
Okay. If my son was to take a gun to school, there is zero tolerance. He will be expelled and he will be kicked out.
Right.
If my son take a knife to school, he will be expelled and he will be kicked out.
That's right.
So how is it that someone can willfully, honestly, humiliate, demonize a ethnic and a culture of people who have been enslaved in this country for over 400 years, their ancestors, and we are the descendants of those who are enslaved. And now we have white children and that can mock, can mock the barbaric history of America. Mm-hmm. And then we have the school board say, well, I'm not even clear on who made the decision. I'm not clear on if the principal made. Well, this principal Alvarado, who's there now, said, well, I wasn't here. I don't have anything to do with it. So was it the superintendent Bob who said go back? Was it the board trustee Splatic who said go back? So I'm not even sure. No one has even told me what her punishment was. And whatever her punishment was, it's not good enough. She needs to be off the team.
It's not good enough. I agree with you, Reverend Harris. I really do. I agree with you, and the thing is that so many people, for different reasons, some selfish reasons, want us to let this die, and why don't we let this die? Why can't y'all just walk away from this? We are talking about children here. This is not an adult-only thing. And, okay, so number one, we're talking about children, Reverend Harris, and number two, we are talking about a system that has condoned this kind of behavior at Bullard for years. We just heard last week on the show about a Confederate flag that was flown over the gym. I believe that was just a year ago. So we know the historic racism that has lived at Bullard. And so now is a perfect opportunity for Friends of Unified to do something about. Okay, so and the third and final thing I want to say is this. There are so many personal things going on. The cheer coach is related to the current principal. You know, this little girl's mother is got some kind of position, volunteer position on campus where she's on the cheer board or something like that. I mean, you have all this kind of intrigue going on behind the scenes of this racist incident. And so it's baffling that we're still talking about this.
Well, Aline, George Finley just wrote something. He's one of our elders in our community. He says they are bold with what they say or do is okay because of where they go to school, especially at Bullard. The Ed Code does not set policy for schools' operation because they are words that engage in the name calling. So that's what Mr. Finley said. And I think, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me that, you know, we just have to keep dealing with this crap day in and day out. So Mr. Finley had said something last week that we need to start the Human Relations Commission again at the Unified. He said Hansen was the one who got rid of it. Hansen was the one who got rid of it. Mm-hmm. So we need to get it back. I think number two,
great idea.
A lot of the parents on the football team surprisingly do not even know this is going on, which was surprising to me, speaking to some of the mothers. I think that this is. I could be wrong, but from my engagement in community, I think this is the first time I've ever seen action from the community, and especially African-American mothers standing together in solidarity, standing against this white waste, this racism that is going on and white supremacy here in the school district. So I believe that there's a lot of more people involved in this. I believe that there's some prominent people involved in this. I believe that this is going to end up in court. I believe that the African-American community is taking a stand for what they believe in. And to Chris Milton, who made some statements, and I was hoping Maria could get on the line, but I don't know where she's at. But she read his statements. I think that anything, well, first of all, I've been doing civil rights work for 37 years. I ran with the best. I ran with Jesse. I ran with Sharpton all over the country. I went into very racist areas of this country where I had to have bodyguards. Organized, never been sued for defamation of character. Anything on that level. So my research is always being done before we go public. I think what was embarrassing to Clovis is that Clovis got more racial issues going on probably than Fresno Unified, or they probably running neck to neck. In Clovis, we have students going in their restroom writing the word nigger inside the bathroom. And then our little babies have to go in there and be subject to all of that. So Clovis, really, really. And then I think this brother made a statement. He said that, Fresno did not come over to Clovis and help us when we had racial issues. Well, let me answer that for you, Brother Milton. I don't go anywhere unless I'm called. Okay. I have been called into Oregon. I've been called into Texas. I've been called into Louisiana. I've been called into many, many places. But Clovis School District has never called me. I've been here 49 years. Now, if you wanted our help, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call. Just pick up the phone and call. We right next door. So, you know, the thing is, you know, you're not going to have school officials manipulating me or manipulating the situation, you know, want to put a Band-Aid on. No, we're going in. We're going to deal with the root. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, we're going to deal with the root of the problem. Okay? And I know for a fact that Clovis Unified School District got all kind of racial issues going on over there.
Oh, yes, for years.
I know. But if you need help, Clovis, black community in Clovis, call us. We're only seven numbers away. We wouldn't mind coming into Clovis, handling business over there. Because anywhere there's black people, trust me, we're there. We're there. But we're not going to go in unless we're called in by the community.
That's right.
So, Aline, where do we go from here? I mean, you know.
That's a good question, Reverend Harris. That's a good question, and I'm glad you framed it, because I think that it was an eye-opener for Buller parents and for Buchanan parents to see that we have white brothers and sisters out there with us protesting what has happened at Buller. And not just the people who were out front protesting with us, and I appreciate them and really appreciate everything that they put into that, but we are talking about Buller parents who are cheer parents, who stood with us in solidarity, who wore their black shirts, you know, and the general community who came. So I think going forward, Reverend Harris, is that a movement is being built within this particular issue around this blackface thing that is going to grow and blossom into something very huge. And I think you're right. I think a lawsuit is going to be in the offing from this. Not because any of us want that, but that's just the way things work in America. You know, if the Ed Code is being used as an excuse, then that policy needs to be changed. And I think that another level should be added on. This is not regular name calling. To use the N-word in the context and way that this young lady used it is a form of terrorism. And I think domestic terrorism, verbal. And I think that we need to talk about this. So I think going forward, I think a task force needs to be formed. Mr. Finley, who is a very wise person, talked about reforming the Human Relations Commission. Well, I think that's a good idea. And I also think there needs to be a way to give it some teeth. So if the things that it submits is not upheld, then there is, you know, something that can be done about it. Because we have a double problem here, Reverend Harris. We have this blackface issue, and we have a trustee named Terry Sladek, who is sitting on the board, the Fresno Unified School Board, just as smug as you please. We all saw him when we went into the game, sitting behind the parents of the young lady who got the restraining order. If that isn't overt intimidation, I don't know what is. So I think we're going to have to stand together on this, black, white, and brown together, and take care of our children. That's what I think we're going to have to do going forward. We're going to have to really be strong on this, because we're going to get a lot of pushback.
Well, we'd like to welcome everyone to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. The show tonight is called Buller Racism versus Buchanan Racism. Could not get everything in the heading, but basically we're talking about the racism in the school district in Fresno Unified, as well as the Clovis Unified School District racism that's going on. You know, one of the things that, since we did the protests, I have received many, many, many phone calls. And, you know, those who are watching right now, please click on the different links that's on the screen, and you'll be able to see the different links that are there. You can YouTube, but I just put a few up there. But one of the things, Mr. Alleen, is that our schools get millions and millions of dollars for low-income children, special ed children. I'm not even sure if those funds really go where they need to go. It seems like America right now, with this situation, Brother Milton, his piece was that, you know, my son is being highly recruited. I don't know if he said Georgia or somewhere. And this is his senior night, and he worked hard to get here. And it's not fair that, you know, you bring this to Clovis and mess up my son, senior night, and blah, 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 blah. I get it. But that's the way the marbles fall. You know, I didn't ask for this to happen. It just happened. It just landed in our lap, and we have to deal with it. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to walk away. Maybe they should have just shut down the whole game. How about that?
Maybe.
No one wants to stand on the moral responsibility of doing what's right. You know,
that's the word, moral.
It's more important to run up and down the field than to stand on principle. It's more important to not worry about insulting our ancestors and their children today, which is us. It's okay. You know, don't worry about it. You know, just move on with your life. Well, no, we're not going to move on with our life.
You made a good point last week, Reverend Harris, when you talked about the money and sports. Could you talk a little bit about that connection?
Well, this whole sports piece is about money. Okay. The whole piece at Buchanan High School, every football game that's played on Friday night or Thursdays or whatever, NFL, it's all about money. I mean, look at Kaepernick. He didn't go out and block streets. He didn't go out riding. All he did was took a knee. And because he took a knee for the moral in his heart to say, hey, this is wrong, what happened? He becomes unemployed. He becomes unemployed just because he took a knee. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have a rifle. He just took a knee. So my point is that the money flow of America, starting with our little babies, right, they probably made $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that Friday night game. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
Who cares about a little white girl that Bullard paint her face white? Who cares? Big deal. Move on with your life. See, that's where we're at today, right? It's not about standing for right, standing for justice, you know, setting a precedence that if anybody ever do this again, you'll never cheer, play football. Now, let's say for football, let's flip the script here for a second. What if a football player did this?
Wow. Yeah.
Let's just say someone from the Buchanan High School, just saying, probably never happened. But let's just say someone from the Bullard High School painted their face black.
Bullard football player.
Yeah,
okay.
Will we still be saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to go by Ed Code, and we did everything by Ed Code?
I wonder.
Yeah, I believe this is Maria. I want to bring her in real quick because I want her to talk about what she read about this gentleman, Milton, who really, from my understanding, discredited the mothers and what their intentions were and et cetera. Welcome to the show, 3366. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just was able to tune into the show, so I didn't know if you guys had got around to covering that. Well, really, when I read the post, what struck me was that he, this Chris Milton, discredited, like, the whole group, like, insulted our intelligence. Like, you know, the first word he used was ridiculous. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, they just put something together. They just threw something together. They had no regard for safety. This is not going to work. This is, who is it going to impact? And, you know, and I'm just sitting there thinking, we had attorneys at the table. We had educated black folks at the table. We had community leaders with experience at the table. You know, we talked about several different types of things we could do to remedy this. We went to the schools. We talked to people. There were all kinds of meetings. But still, they wanted to sweep this under the rug in a way that they wouldn't have done had that been a black student or individual that did half of what she did, okay?
That's right.
And everybody seemed to, you know, disregard the content in which this young lady used this word is not protected under her First Amendment, under First Amendment rights. It is not protected. It caused an upheaval. It caused an environment to be hostile. It disrupted the peace.
That's
if
right.
any peace was there, it was further, it was either let go or even further damaged. And for him to say, and, I mean, we have parents who have been affected that sat at this meeting. And for him to sit up there and act like this was just some cockamamie scheme that we just wanted to throw up because we didn't have nothing else to do, and because we're clout chasing, if somebody don't bring exposure to this and keep this going, they'd have been done away with this. The parents would have left with their trauma and nothing else, no voice, no stand, no action. And we just supposed to go along with the business as usual, the okie doke, and let them pull us behind a closed door, make some kind of promises that they won't keep. Oh, let's form a committee. Oh, let's form this and that. All these little rinky-dink type of fixes that really aren't meant to be a fix. They just meant to be a smokescreen. And for him, as a black man, and calling himself a leader in his Clovis community, to sit up there and say that it's ridiculous and ridicule the entire action like it was nothing but a mere these people just got together and just thought some crazy stuff to do. You know, that insulted my intelligence. And honestly, I had some respect for him before I read that post, but now I have no respect for him. Because action, it takes a whole lot more than just, oh, I think this is a good idea. No, wasn't a good idea and was a cockamamie idea was to think to develop a policy where we do this no N-word sign, put on a T-shirt with the N-word crossed out. Now, that was brainless. But what we did to form that protest, it took a whole lot of brains. It took a whole lot of courage. And we put a lot of thought into it. We thought everything from how do we make sure nobody's hurt to how do we make sure it's documented that if anybody does get a line out of line, if anybody does violate our right to protest, that
legal
it is documented
observer.
And they are dealt with.
That's right.
So, you know, I just really had a problem with that brother. And then he go from the extreme of insulting the intelligence of several individuals at the table, more than several, dozens of people at the table, to, well, you guys can come help us in Clovis, so don't expect us to come help you in Fresno. Don't bring your Fresno black stuff over here to Clovis. Dude, what do you think? You know, some brainless stuff was coming out of coming off his head. That's where the brainless stuff was coming like. So when do you be a certain type of black person? Okay, don't deal with the black people in Fresno. Only deal with the black people in Clovis, because the black people in Clovis can handle their business. We black people. And you better believe at the end of the day, they would squash on him like any other black person.
Well, what was he doing about the N-word in the bathroom? What was he doing about the N-words in the bathroom?
Really?
That's what I want
to
know.
To say that we're not concerned, do you? Arlene and Reverend Harris, you guys know. How many times have we talked about issues that went on in Clovis? How many times have we heard Reverend Harris say, you know what, you want us to take You know, if y'all got
That's
it, y'all
right.
got it. But let us know if you need reinforcement.
Right.
And for this
That's right.
idiot not to do that and to sit up there and try to cause a divide between Clovis Black and Fresno Black when we all should have been working together.
Together.
And then he talk about clout chasing. So when the incident is fresh, you get your 15 minutes of fame, getting up there in front of somebody, acting like you actually concerned. But then when it come down to your son, and I don't want my son you looking bad. I want him to look as good as possible for these people. Then all of a sudden you turn house Negro?
Tell it now.
Come on now. Be real. Be 100. Be genuine.
Well, if he's a privileged black man, as he said he is, to me, that translates, being a privileged black man translates into being an honorary white man. To me, I'm not talking about Reverend Harris, Sister Marie, or anybody else. This is Aline saying, if you are saying that you're a privileged black man living in Clovis, you're the go-to person for racial issues, then you consider yourself an honorary white man. And I have a big problem with that.
We have a caller.
And I just want to thank Marcus Winston for standing up on that post and trying to educate the brother, the whitewashed brother. And then I would also like to thank Christensen Fleming because he spoke up and really called it out. You know, you can be there on the forefront, but then when it's getting ready to come to your place, now all of a sudden you hands off because, you know, you got something, you think you got something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
If your boy is an elite player, he's going to be an elite player. And them prospects, them people, they're not going to care what's going on. All they're going to care is about your son's talent and skill.
That's right.
We have a caller at 9451. I have a caller at 9451. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about last Friday's direct action that the African American mothers decided that they wanted to do. They organized it. We had women all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, who was helping to put this together, and many folks and men here locally, as well as white allies that were there. We had legal observers that was there. I believe that it went out from, I'll just leave my belief system alone right now. But seems to be that there were going to be rioting. There was going to be a lot of disruption. There was going to be fighting. Fresno Unified School District told the children in middle schools not to go to the football game, not to wear black shirts. And so, you know, it was a total opposite of everything that was said. We were very professional. We're very organized. The mothers, we did our thing, and we showed up. And I just want to thank Pastor Kreiner, myself, for being there. I didn't get a chance to speak with him, but I was told he was there. I seen him in pictures. Brother Marcus Winston, Brother Kayende, our other brother,
Larry
Burris, and other brothers that they brought.
Roger Brown.
I want to thank those men who came out to stand with these mothers. I haven't seen that in my 36 years being here in Fresno, but I had an opportunity to see it this past Friday. This was about the mothers. This was about the children. So we're going to go to 9451. 9451, are you just listening? You want to jump in on this conversation?
Reverend Harris. This is Mr. Finley.
Hey, Mr. Finley.
Yes, Reverend Harris.
Go on and talk to us, Mr. Finley.
Well, you said a lot of things there. The education code does not dictate the school district how to operate their district. They set guidelines that they are to follow, but they cannot tell the district how and what to do on disciplinary reasons at school. The board sets those policies. They can't blame the code. Now, if you tell the county council directs them when they get out of step, and if they don't follow the guidelines, the county council steps in and tell them, you're doing this wrong, and the county superintendent of school has to come in and set them straight also.
Wow.
So is it that we need to go to the county superintendent, Mr. Finley?
If they are not following the guideline, Reverend Harris, you've been a board member, and the county schools represent all of the schools in the county, and they have to follow those rules that are established by that board and follow those guidelines.
Mm.
And if they don't follow them, then that's when we go to the state and say, come in here and let's do an audit on what's going on in this district.
Well, here's what was told to the mothers in a parent meeting with the power structure there. They said that they were going to let the young ladies decide internally.
Not the prerogative. They don't set policy. The district set the policy by the board, not the school. Students do not set policy or rules.
So if there's a student, is there like a handbook or something? You saying that's irrelevant?
Well, if the handbook that's put out by the principal of that school, those are rules, but policy is set by the super by the board members, which is has to be followed by the administrator.
Mm.
And if they're not doing their job, then somebody needs to have someone from the state or county come in and say, what are the rules are you following and what policies are you setting that are not going along with what is supposed to be in the education code?
But the attorneys will be asking just that question.
Well, the county officers.
Fresno Unified said that they went by the state ed code. That's what they
code
said in the paper.
Education code does not spell out what policy you set in your school district for operations, Reverend Harris.
Mm-hmm.
You know that as a board member.
You're right.
Policy for your school district is set by your trustees. That's what they're there for, to make sure they operate properly. And
so Fresno Unified admin just set up a false smoke screen to get themselves off the hook, in other words, for the moment.
Yes, and at the school, the principal set rules, but policies are set by the trustees.
Mm-hmm.
And the policy oversteps your rules that are put up by principal.
Mm. Okay. Let's see.
Like the school board might need to be educated on that.
No, they just do their job. Ask them how many read the education code. I bet you none of them.
Oh, I bet so.
Wow.
They can't put that on the superintendent of the school for Sacramento from Sacramento. Because they cannot rule, they cannot run the district. That's why they set up the board for the district. So they have someone there to set policy for.
Right. Well, Sacramento might need to come in, do that.
Well, they're only going to come in when you request them. They're not coming on their own.
Right. Wow. Well, you have definitely.
I think we got that in progress.
Yes, I think so. I think you're right, Sister Maria.
And you need to get that superintendent of county schools down and set him down and talk to him also.
Wow. So that's.
Avino.
Avino.
Right.
Yeah, I had a problem when we were working with Central out there. He was out there with that Ku Klux Klan display they had.
They did it
during Black History Month, and they put it downtown in the county office as a display.
What year was this, Mr. Finley?
I don't forgot when it was, but it went all over the United States.
Oh, my God.
And the teachers were wearing a Ku Klux Klan robe out there at Central.
I know you was all
in
the bathroom.
Yeah,
this culture in this valley, we're going to have to work on that because we're not going to let
well,
these things.
Well, we dropped our guard, see, when we thought things were going good. And see, when we started the Human Relations Department for Fresno Unified, that was back in the 60s. So you know it was bad if they did it then.
Right.
And then
right.
When Hanson comes in, he cut it out.
Yeah, we need that back. We need that back. We know Hanson didn't do a very good job for our children. We know that.
Well, he was only for Bullitt. I tell you guys what you should do. Ask how much money has been spent at Bullitt compared to the other high schools such as Fresno High, Roosevelt, and Edison. They've been there the longest.
That's
and their tax base does not represent the amount of money that they spend at Bullitt.
Right.
Because they could not afford to educate their children. That's why they came into the Fresno Unified School District.
Wow.
Bullitt is one of the few high schools that we have, or maybe the only high school we have that is not a magnet school.
Well, they got the baccalaureate and also the
that's right.
And they've taken some of the things from Edison and put over there, see?
Oh.
And they're taking the Title I money over the Bullitt because of the black kids going over there, which shouldn't happen.
Yes. Mr. Finley, you should be the head of this human relations when it starts back up. I'm serious because you know chapter and verse the history of how it should go. Because for those of us who don't know the history, you know, it will be easy for us to make some mistakes. So they need you as an advisor.
Guys, you know what? That's why we need to sit down and go over these things with the young people so you guys will know what to do because we're going to be gone.
That's true. That
we
is
got to
true.
Teach you guys what's going on so you don't have to be going over this over there.
That's true. Wow.
So when can we have that sit down, Mr. Finley?
You know, I'm here every day doing nothing. Sleeping and eating, watching TV.
That sounds so relaxing right now.
I want that life.
You know, Reverend, we just need to get our youth and get them trained to do these things and not hold it all back so they don't get it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, well, our team is on the line here, and we're going to write that down, and I'm talking about expediting that. Within the next week or so, we need to come meet with you, and so you can teach us, and we'll bring some young people with us to teach us how to put
that's
the humor.
That's what we have to do, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're taking the heat off of that face with that board member, and that, you know, that should not even be on the table when we're talking about that.
That's right.
That should be a different set.
Two separate things. That's right. Well,
yes,
the recall is still going on.
That's up to Bullitt area to do that. You know they're not going to do it, all right?
It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. I would not be surprised if they didn't, but I do know that they got some fresh money into the recall effort. I don't know how far that money is going to go or how much it was, but I know that there are people working on it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though, the Bullitt parents are the one that's going to have to do that.
Right, right.
You know they're not going against their own, all right?
I can't argue with you on that, but I know we're going to stand with our own. We're going to stand with ours.
I don't understand that, but I'm just saying, though, that's why they did the district so that they would have their own representative in their area, and that's who they pick and that's who they'll keep.
So, Mr.
That
Finley,
was a time when you had to vote on it, but you don't have it anymore.
Well, Mr. Finley, when it comes to our black students going to Bullard, are they made to go to Bullard, or is that a choice?
That's a choice now. It's not a made thing, no. But they have to have so many in there, otherwise they don't have to close them down. Yeah, see, that was a mandate that we segregate. I mean, integrate. We were segregated. That was one of the worst schools we had to integrate.
And this is how they treat the students once they do get there. Wow.
It's always been that way ever since we started it. When we started integration, those kids that were going to Bullard all went out to Clovis that could afford it. And I drove many hours trying to find them out there in those woods out there. And they were out in nobody's land where nobody lives. And I told the department head at that time, why are we chasing these kids? I said, these people can afford to rent apartments and rent houses to put their kids in to go to school. And I said, we should stop chasing. They'll come back. They get tired of running around. They'll come back, and they did.
Well, it was a lot of those white kids that started going to those private Christian schools that popped up all over the place after that.
Do you know one of the first schools that started in Fresno was a church school? And who was that? And that was J.L. Johnson. People Church started the first school for kids when we started integrating the schools in Fresno Unified.
I believe it because I think Fort Buffin started in 1977. That was the year after I graduated from Edison. So I missed that. But, yeah, I believe you. I believe you, Mr. Finley.
Yeah, we started at People Church, and then it went to Beaufort over there northwest.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a lot of schools that branched out after that, like Fresno Christian.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Mr. Finley, is there a way that we can encourage our African American students not to go to Bullard?
It depends on your parents, brother. If we have a way to get them out of there, I would say yes, get them out. But the parents don't have to be the one that determine that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're gonna attack this in different ways, different areas. So what we're doing is, I think the human relation piece, we need to come over to your place and sit and speak with you so you can educate us and bring some of our children with us and build that how you feel it needs to be built for our community. And we need to find out who are the black parents. So I don't even think a lot of the black parents knows what's going on out at Bullard. We were some parents were talking to some of the black football player parents, and they didn't even know anything about the black face or anything. So it's like they're just using our kids and then mocking our history and our ancestors. And so, you know,
they've
always
done that, brother. They come over and get our kids to play football, basketball from over in Edison. But we can't do that over there. That's always been like that. They come over and recruit out of here, but we can't recruit them over there.
Mm-hmm. We're at our last minute here, and we're going to go ahead and sign off. We'll be looking forward for our show tomorrow. I'd like to thank our Mr. George Finley, who is one of our elders in our community, freedom fighter, who's always educating us about what's going on in the community. And so we're going to go ahead and sign off tonight, and we're going to say good night. We had a good show, great show, educational show, and we hope that Brother Milton, Chris Milton, listened to the show tonight. And so I just want to thank all of you all tonight for tuning in tonight, and we'll get ready for tomorrow. We'll debrief with our mothers this week on Thursday. Say good night.
Good night.